and go forward and...
Oh, you still there?
I was listening to you when thought you were having a wank or something there.
Was that that?
Aye.
It's because there's a dirty mark on my iPad, so I was running it off. Did you say I thought you were having a wank?
Aye.
How crass can you get that? Oh, it's shocking.
We don't do that kind of thing. We're too highbrow for that in this
podcast. Exactly. I'm a married man. Christ, that's what I do, do you?
Aye, exactly.
you come to that stage soon, son, didn't you, were it? Did you say anything about the goal that we scored?
Oh, no, never, actually.
I think you should maybe cover that, didn't
you? Maybe.
It's going to say if I miss something here.
Hi folks, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and I've got my co-host Dave.
Hi Derek, how are you this evening?
I'm not bad, I'm nursing a wee bit of a hangover for last night, so.
Oh, you're joking. Oh well, and I think we've got quite a lot to talk about this week, so I hope you're up for it.
Yes, as Dave said, we've got plenty to talk about this week. We've got three games to cover. We knew it was going to happen. The boardroom exploded once again, so we've got a lot to talk about there. As ever, we've got our classic match as well as our What a Player section as well. We've got a great player for you this week as well.
Yes, we certainly have one that everyone, I'm sure, will be able to reminisce on, and everybody will have a story about him when they think back and when they look back on some of the goals and that he scored on YouTube. But I'll let you start off with a review of the games that we've missed.
Yes, we're going to now go down the tunnel. Right, so the first game was at home to Stenhousemuir on Saturday the 22nd of February. We had Bell, Wallace, Krabari, McCulloch, Forey, Templeton, Law, Black, Aird, Little, Daly. On the subs bench we had Simonson, Peralta, Telfer, Crawford, Shields, Smith and Foster. Shields was obviously in good form and apparently had a slight tweak to the knee which dropped him to the bench. Obviously we were expecting a lot of things for this game considering we beat them the last time 8-0 when we played them at home, so we were expecting it. We never got that.
No, we certainly didn't. I think we were a wee bit worried with Krabari coming back into defence. We had said the week before that he'd actually done all right and he looked quite solid, but as things panned out, he was back to the Krabari that we all know, the Rangers team. But I'll let you go over what actually happened.
Or your personal nickname, or your nickname for him, Krabari.
Big crap Barry, yep, right, when you go.
Yes. Well, the game ended up 3-3, so we'll discuss how we got there. In the first minute, Black had a good ball into the box, played Little an interesting volley across the danger area, was cleared by the defender. On the fifth minute, our main man, Crap Barry, actually hit the bar with a header. Aird plays the corner from the left, finds the header, Crap Barry, and with a glancing header, hits off the bar.
It's the fact you're actually calling him Crap Barry now instead of his actual name.
Well, I think we need to after the performance in this game.
Right, sorry mate, on you go.
So on the 10th minute, Templeton picked up the ball from about 22 yards, facing away from the goal, great turn, hits a shot, and it was just over the bar. It all fell to pieces on the 15th minute when Stenhousemuir got a goal. Largely, you could say, against the run of play. But the cross came in from the right. It was chested down. Our defence was absolutely in pieces. And it was a shot in the back of the net. Possibly Bell incited by her own defender.
Yeah, it was kind of defence all over the place, schoolboy stuff. You know, it was a half-decent cross in, but they really couldn't cope with it. And it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah. On the 19th minute, 4 minutes after obviously the goal, we had a very, very bizarre incident with involving Templeton and the referee. It was a penalty claim. It was a stonewaller as far as everyone could see in the ground and watching it on TV, but the referee booked Templeton. Basically, he took the ball into the box with a nice wee run. He was clearly fouled from behind. No attempt to go for the ball at all. It was a clear stonewaller in everybody's eyes, but he mysteriously got booked. You know, it's just incredible decision from the ref.
I know, unbelievable, and I think we're still all baffled as to what the referee was thinking at the time, because you could clearly see when we're watching it back that it was a penalty, so I really don't know what was going on there.
No. 6 minutes later, in the 25th minute, Templeton was involved again. This time it was, you know, Peter Van Vossen-esque, I think. He basically, a ball came across from the right after some good play. He had an open goal because the ball dragged all the keeper and the defenders out, and I think it might have taken a wee bobble, but anyway, he ballooned it over the bar from about 6 yards out.
Yeah, well, we'll go with that. There was a bobble there. That's what we'll go for. No, it was a bit of a glaring miss by his standards.
I was maybe being a wee bit too polite there. So on the 35th minute, we did get an equalising goal. It was Nicky Law. Great play on the left-hand side. Puts the ball across into Templeton, who was just outside the box. It's a lovely touch to Law, who hits a 15-yard curler past the keeper on the right-hand side. Fantastic goal.
Yeah, it was a great goal. Law, I think, had been a wee bit quiet up until then, but it was great composure and a great goal to bring it back level.
Yes. No much else happened in the half apart from right at the death of the first half. Forey came off and Foster came on. It was looked to be a bad injury to Forey, but thankfully I don't think it's as serious as first thought anyway.
Right, okay.
Anyway, I mean, the half, we certainly did start off brightly, but, you know, we fell apart, to be honest. We got the goal, obviously, the equaliser, but, you know, it was pretty dire stuff from Rangers. There was no urgency to go forward a lot of the time, and, you know, we weren't getting a lot on target, to be honest. And, you know, fair enough, a bit of bad luck there with the penalty claim, and obviously his bobble that happened anyway right in front of goal, but certainly no good enough so far. So into the second half anyway, the first note I've got here was Stenny's second goal on the 57th minute. A long cross came in from the right wing, found the head of the unmarked Stenny attacker, and it went into the back of the net. Again, really poor defending, arguable that Bell could have done better as well, and it really all stemmed from us not pressing, and then we allowed Stenny to come at us all the time.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was a good break and another good cross in, and a clinical finish, but again, another cross in, and it was just reminiscent of last season that we just couldn't deal with any cross balls at all.
No. 10 minutes later, we got an equaliser though. A bit fortuitous, but it was an OG. Aird drove the ball forward and shoots from about 19 yards, deflected off the under the legs of the Stenhousemuir defender and trundles over the line. The keeper was over the opposite side of the goal line, and he was completely caught flat-footed, so there was nothing that... Flat-footed?
Aye. No, we'll go into what a player section later when you're talking about flutes.
That was a big clue, guys.
Yes, it was.
He was caught fat. Maybe it wasn't even caught fat.
Right.
I'm giving myself heartburn here, come on.
So he's fat fluted and fat footed.
Yes, he was called flat footed, and anyway, well, he never got to it anyway, so a bit fortuitous, as I said, but we scored nonetheless from an OG.
Yeah, the fact that we'd got that goal back, and it was quite lucky. It was maybe going to all the players say, you know, well, that's it. We've had it. We'll have to go out now and really pull our socks up and go. And you know, we did score the next goal, and I thought we were going to maybe hold out. But I'll let you go over that one.
Yep. Just a few minutes later, 71st minute, we went 3-2 up. So it was the first time in the game we had went ahead. Daly scored. Aird hit the corner from the right-hand side. Daly rises up well above the defence and gets header down into the corner past the keeper, and that was our 100th goal of the season for us in all competitions.
Yep, trademark goal, well-worked corner, good delivery in by Aird, and as you say, Daly doing what we expected him to do, get on the end of the ball, and it was a great header down, and then he make it 3-2, and like I said, I thought we would either have went on and built on that, or at least hold out for the victory, but alas, it wasn't to be.
Yeah, 2 minutes later, another incredible, bizarre decision from the referee, just totally amazes me what happened. He basically, there was a corner came in, the ball was floated in, a few players fell on the deck, and a penalty was awarded to Stenhouse Muir, and Krabari was yellow carded for it, and it was alleged for barging. I think he had slightly touched the guy, but it was not enough to knock him over. The boy just fell down, effectively. There was a Rangers player fell down as well, I think. And it was just nobody. I've watched it back several times. Can you see a second thing wrong with it?
No, I was the same. I've seen it a few times as well, and I was baffled with the fact that he was given that. I don't even think the Stenhouse Muir players were given up too much of a fight, you know, trying to claim for it. I think they were maybe even as shocked as what all the rest of us were given it. But really, dodgy decision, baffling decision, but they got the penalty, and that was that.
Yeah, so the game finished 3-3, the game kind of petered out. The kind of summary of the second half, it was, you know, there was four goals in it and you would think it was an exciting game, but really it wasn't. It was a largely pedestrian, forgettable half, and it was only the goals that kind of made the spark of the game. Really not good enough Rangers, and, you know, it typifies a lot of the play we've had this year so far. Just we kind of kill teams off when we need to.
Yeah, I think we've been getting by a lot in the games that we've not played well, with the fact that we've been playing a hell of a lot better in defence. But I think you can see with Mosny not being in there that we're struggling, especially when cross balls come in. I should say, and big crap Barry's just been a bit of a nightmare. I think we were all hoping that maybe one of the young guys would be brought in there at centre half. We all thought maybe Gasparotto would get a chance in there, but he put big crap Barry in, and it was an absolute nightmare in that game.
Right, and I mean, I think McCulloch, unfortunately, he's starting to get found out now. I think his legs are pretty much gone, because he's not the player he was even at the start of the season, to be honest. So
I think him and Mosny have been a good partnership, because McCulloch has done the sort of sweeping role. He's been in there to try and win the first header. Mosny's been there to try and sort of sweep up after him, you know, if anybody's been too fast, and it's worked quite well for us. But you can see the problems it's caused when Mosny's not playing for us, because he is quite fast, Mosny, and he's great at picking up anybody that usually peels off, and that was a big problem for us there. We just looked absolutely lost in defence.
I mean, I think the only good player that really came out of the game was Templeton, obviously, with a lot of his play, and but even at that, he had the glaring miss, and at least he was getting forward, though, which was a good thing. And as we've said in the previous games, you know, he is certainly starting to come onto a game.
Yeah, would he be your man of the match if you were to pick one?
I would really need to kind of be him. It was very little else from the team, and as I said, it's no saying much, you know, but, you know, he was about the only one who had any sort of flair on the team.
Yeah, again, lackluster performance. I think we were hoping, with the fact that we're still in the cup, that it was going to maybe gee everybody up, you know, for them desperate to play, desperate to prove themselves, you know, to try and play in the cup matches, but it just didn't work for some reason.
Yep, so, well, that was 2 points dropped anyway. We're largely disappointed with that. But at least we never lost the game, so our kind of unbeaten record's still intact now, anyway. And obviously, due to events that were about to up and come, we're still kind of unbeaten, the only team in Britain to be unbeaten in the league so far.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
So, we'll move on to the next game after that. It was only 3 days later, on Tuesday the 25th. It was away to Stranraer. Now, we had Bell, Wallace, Jigg, Mosny was back in after being suspended, Foster, Smith, Peralta was back, Black, Aird, Law and Daly. On the subs bench, we had Simonson, Gallagher, Crawford, Krabari, Shields, Templeton and Little. So, rather strangely, we had Shields and Templeton dropped to the bench when both of them had been in form.
Yeah, and as you say, up until the Stenhouse Muir game, we would have said that Shields and Templeton had been our most impressive players over the last few games. And just a bit of a baffling team selection there by Ali McCoist to bring in, you know, which looked as if we were playing with maybe six defenders or five defenders in that team, which, you know, absolutely baffling. I still really don't know what he was doing. I suppose he was playing Peralta more in the centre for that game, was maybe what we were all hoping, that we, you know, he was going to get a chance to see what he could do. But it was a strange team selection. Yep. But again, I'll let you go on the actual match summary, Derek.
So, unbelievably, we went 1-0 up after 4 minutes. minutes through Lee Wallace. Good patient build-up play, which led to a move going forward down the left-hand side. A great 1-2 with Wallace and Law. Wallace continued his run back into the box and then shoots it into the back of net. Fantastic, really patient build-up play and really good goal.
Yep, Lee Wallace at his best. Overlapping play, 1-2 attacking right into the box, and a great finish for him. So it was a great goal.
Yep, so we thought from there that, you know, yes, we've got the goal earlier on, you know, we're going to capitalise on that and just kill the team off. Well, I could really sum up the first half, you know, from there. Nothing happened in the first half, did it?
No, it was a pretty negative performance, totally. I think me and you had been texting each other as if to say, this is like watching paint dry, you know, it was pretty dire.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bell had a couple of really good saves and kind of kept us in it, to be honest. I mean, straight after their goal, there was a mix-up in the box, and the ball was hit, and it bounces through a sea of Rangers defenders and forced a great save from Bell. We had, you know, a lofted ball in from Smith, headed just wide by Daly. Smith on the 24th minute got a shot off from 18 yards, just over the bar, and then on the 32nd minute another good save from Bell to turn it just round the post, after a great shot from the Stranraer attacker. Again, it was our defence lacking in that one there.
Yeah, it was a really good save by Bell, that one, which kind of kept us 1-0 up at that point, because Stranraer, to be fair, were the better team at that point.
Yep. So, largely disappointing half as a game overall. Really was a really disappointing and drab to watch. From our performance, you know, it was, again, much of the same again. You know, just really disappointing, really pedestrian, no invention going forward, and, you know, what can I say more about that?
Nothing. Yeah. That's about it.
Well, going into the second half, your word there just really sums that up against there. Nothing. You know, nothing happened again. I've got two notes before we scored in the 88th minute. You know, in the 51st minute, it was a bad challenge on Law. You know, it was lucky, you know, it'd be a red card from the Stranraer player. And on the 57th minute, it was a great pass from Mojny to Wallace down the left-hand side. Wallace puts in a fantastic cross, which meets the header Daly, and from close range, keeper makes a great double save after the header rebounds out for Daly's second attempt.
Yeah, it was a great cross, and as you say, I think we thought the net was going to be bulging because Daly got a good header onto it, but fair play to the goalkeeper, a great save.
It was right arm in fairness for the first one, but, you know, it was had to be good reaction saves, so fair play, as you said.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as I said, we did get a second goal to make it 2-0 on the 88th minute, John Daly. It was a long ball floated into the edge of the box. Daly was going to pick it up, but the keeper came out of the box to meet the ball and headed the ball because obviously he couldn't pick it up. It was outside his box. It hit off Daly, who kept running with the ball, and Daly knocked it into the empty net. So again, another pretty fortuitous goal from an absolute blunder from the Stranraer keeper.
Yeah, just a big mix-up by the goalkeeper and completely misjudged it, and thankfully Big Daly saw if it was coming and managed to keep a cool head and slot the ball home.
Yep. So the game finished off. There was a couple of substitutes during the game, but nothing much to write home about. Again, a really disappointing half, really disappointing game overall. We got the 3 points, and that's about the only thing that you can take out of the game, because there wasn't really a pass mark for any players in this game.
Do you think it's possibly something to do with the team selection, the formation that they were set out, that was, you know, was pretty negative stuff considering the amount of sort of defenders, the fact that Smith was in there as well as Wallace, you know, sort of two left backs playing? Is it possibly to do with that?
I mean, it could be. I think it's a combination of that and the fact that, well, the season's wrapped up, so where's the motivation going to come from? And also the fact that don't you players' attitudes. I think that players' attitudes are wrong, that they're negative, they seem down, they're not. We know that they can do it, and that's the problem, is we've seen them play, you know, fantastic football, kill teams off, and they just don't want to do it. I mean, again, going back from Stenhouse Muir game and the Stranraer team, take nothing away from them. That's not to say that they never played well, because they did play well. Stenhouse Muir certainly, you know, got the ball, got the goals forward when they had to, defended when they had to, and again, same with Stranraer, they defended when they had to, and unlucky, obviously we got one goal and they were unlucky with the second goal, but take nothing away from them, but we should be playing a lot better than this.
Yeah, a hell of a lot better in these games, but again, I think the way that we had their team set out, it was very kind of defensive. I think maybe Ali thought we were going to get a hell of a lot harder game than than what we did. So I'll maybe not give them too much jip for that one. No. But certainly the Stennis Muir game at home, we should have really have turned the screw in that one and went for the jugular and fired in some more goals. But again, it's happened. We can only talk about the performance, what happened there. And as you say, it was just pretty lame stuff.
Certainly was. So we'll go into the last game we've got to cover, and that was just there on yesterday, which was Saturday the 1st of March. It was away to East Fife. We've got Bell, Foster, Jig, Mosney, Wallace, Templeton, Law, Black, Aird, Shields and Daly. On the subs bench we had Simonson, Crawford, Smith, Forey, Little, Peralta and Crackbarry.
Now that lineup that you've just said there is possibly our strongest lineup at the moment. Possibly, you know, if we were playing a bigger team, you know, a team for the higher leagues, we would be putting that team out to play against them. So I had high hopes that they were going to actually go out and perform, but again, it was pretty nothing stuff in the first half.
Yep, I mean, certainly it was as bad a game of football just overall as I've ever seen. It was so, so dire, so pedestrian. No team really got a grip in the game. And I've actually put in my notes here, the highlight of the whole game was actually at half-time when the VT cameras seen a wee boy in the East Fife crowd and he was playing the drums and he turned around to the camera and gave him the fingers.
I seen the pictures in the paper of it. No, it was somebody had put it on Twitter to say just to show the wee laddie doing it. I bet his mum and dad are proud, eh?
I mean, you know, certainly they were. BT were total apologists all game about language that was overheard, and that scene obviously as well. It was quite pathetic, to be honest. You know, you're at the football, you know, that's why, you know, microphones have got faders and off buttons, so, you know, they seem to be like to do their apologies, as we found out last year as well.
They should maybe give you a job at editing that out, Derek. I think you'd be quite good at that.
I think the microphone for the commentators would just permanently be off, so...
Depends who it is, it's the commentator.
Well, right enough, aye. So, anyway, really no much happened in the game. It was 0-0 for most of the game. I really don't want to cover a lot of it because it was bad enough going through it the first time. So basically, I'm not even going to cover really any points because we had a few shots, they had a few shots. Nothing really, you know, of testing anybody. In fact, I don't even think Bell had a shot to save in the whole game. We just never put their keeper under pressure. Very pedestrian, very laboured, and right at the death, in injury time, we got a penalty just to save our day and save the 3 points. Undoubtedly, it was a justified penalty. The box was crowded. It was hacked down in the box. I can't remember who it was now, to be honest.
Was it not Templeton?
I think it was, actually. Yeah, I think it was Templeton. Mm-hmm. He was taken down. Cool as you like. Big Jack, in his usual style, slots the penalty home to make it 1-0. Really no way for East Fife to come back, and an absolute let-off from us.
Yeah, I mean, it was a penalty. You could see Templeton was in the box. He did. There was definite contact made when he went down, so there was no doubts about it that it was a penalty. And we were happy to take it at that point. I was a wee bit embarrassed actually by the fact how mental Lee McCulloch went when he scored it, because it was as if we'd just scored the winner in the, you know, the cup final. The way he went absolutely daft when he scored. Pretty dire performance. And I text you, and the text that I put was, at least your match analysis and review won't last very long for this game. and then he says it's probably a good thing because the game is so boring with nothing happening. And I've put, yes, here's the summary of the whole game. Yes, we were shite, got a penalty in the last minute, scored it and won 1-0.
So I hope we've summed that up pretty much like that.
That's the match summary in one text. There you go. But as you say, pretty dire stuff. There's not really much more we can talk about. They got the 3 points, they got a penalty, and that was about it. I really hope that they really start to, you know, perform a bit better, because we do have an opportunity to go far in the cup. We've got a great opportunity to get to the semi-finals of the cup, and, you know, but going on the performances that we've put on, it has been pretty dire, and it's maybe put everything back in perspective again, because I'd be quite worried if we were playing a better team at the moment. I hope I'm proved wrong, but you know, going for the last 3 games, I couldn't see us beating a team in the Premier League at the moment, Derek. I don't know about you.
No, playing like this. I mean, obviously anything can happen in a one-off game, as before, but certainly everybody needs to buck up their ideas from right from the team selection to the attitudes of the players. And one thing, as I did tweet about it during the game, what are these free kicks all about with Black? It's dire, it's incredible how many times we're going to hit the wall with them. I mean, tell them to stop taking them. Someone, you know, Jig, you're the captain, get, you know, hold off the ball, because he scored maybe one in, you know, however many. Has he even scored from them? I don't know.
I'm trying to think, I'm trying to rack my brains to see if he has actually scored for a free kick this season or not. I'm sure somebody will remind us, but it's like 5-6 times a game and it never ever comes off. You would think that somebody would say, I'm not, no this time wee man, let somebody else here pop, because it's just absolutely dire.
Yeah. Well, free kicks and dire games aside, we got a bit of luck as well with the Dunfermline getting beat, so we are now 24 points clear. So I think if they...
There's only two... If we win our next two matches, according to Sky,
yeah,
what I was looking, then we have won the title.
Yeah, and I think we can... If Dunfermline have got a break for the next game, which I'll get onto the next in a minute, but I think if they drop points the next game and we win against Airdrie, I think it is, then we win the title before it even gets to the second game, so... We'll need to see how that pans out. But anyway, 27 games played, 25 won, 2 drawn, 0 lost, 84 goals scored, 14 let in, goal difference of 70. So again, we're still on. We've got another 9 games to go before we can try and break the 100 goal difference record. That'll be interesting if we can do that. We're on 77 points. So as Dave said there, our next game is on Sunday the 9th of March. It is in the Cup, and it's at home to Albion Rovers.
Yes, and again, a great opportunity now for guys who maybe thought they would never get to another big match, for guys like John Daly and that have came to Rangers and thought, you know, I might have a couple of good seasons to get back in the Premier League. This is a great opportunity for some of these players to get to the semi-final, even get to a final, if they just bloody pull their socks up and start playing like the way that we know they can play. It's a great motivation, and I really hope that they rise to that as well, because it is a great opportunity for us to go out and play better teams and see how we're faring. But again, like we said, the last three games, it's not been great, and it's not filling me with much hope like it was a few weeks ago after the Dunfermline game, when I was really quite optimistic about it. But after watching the three matches, it's curved my feelings towards it big time, because I really didn't think we're up for it in the moment, and I just hope that all changes within the next week.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's one-off games, so you know, you never know what can happen. And with our attitudes, apart from the obviously the 4-4 game at the start of the year, our attitudes in the Cup have actually been quite good, so we'll just need to wait and see what happens. And it's a 3:30 kickoff on Sunday as well, which is a bit strange to have a kickoff then, but it's on the TV, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's either on Sky or BT or something like that. So Albion Rovers have got their big payday out of it anyway.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm getting my kilt fitted next Saturday, so I'll probably be nursing a hangover, so I doubt I'll be able to get to the game. So
I don't know if getting a kilt fitted and having a hangover, I don't know how that sort of mixes in with each other, mate, but
well,
I hope you're not going to be pissed when you go to get your kilt fitted.
Well, we'll see about that. We're going to have a good few drinks before and after anyway, so.
I dread to think you'll come back, it'll be some psychedelic number that you'll end up picking or something like that.
Well, put it this way, it'll not be green.
Well, that goes without saying, really.
Right, so anyway, we're going to get to the dreaded section next. We're going to go into the Blue Room.
Oh dear, right, on you go.
Quite simply, we're the only club in the world who could do that. We are the people.
Right, so we said it was going to happen. We had a good lull for a good, since really the AGM, and it's back to bite us with a vengeance now. A lot's happened. I'm going to try and quickly summarise it all. It's too much to go over, to be honest, but we'll see what we can do. First thing that happened was Rangers came out with their new package, Ready to Listen. It was basically an initiative to get the fans involved more, and it's the club starting to get the fans' opinions on stuff. They've done a Survey Monkey which, you know, any Tom, Dick and Harry can do, mind you. But they've done a Survey Monkey and they've got a range of questions online about the goings-on of the club, what you think's important, any comments you want to make. So it's not really overly comprehensive. They posted the link to in public, so it's not as if it's been done to, you know, sent to season ticket holders or anything like that. So they're going to have to filter out a load of obvious, you know, Celtic fans who have already openly admitted they've filled it out. But at least it's a start anyway.
Well, I got an email sent to me from Rangers just because of being a previous season ticket holder and still being on the system for buying tickets online and stuff like that. So I got that sent and I thought if they had done it like that and only sent it out to people, you know, who have bought from the club and bought their season tickets and bought tickets, then they might have had a, you know, a better idea. But as you say, the fact it could be, you know, just by anybody clicking onto the site and then, you know, they can go to the link, it was a bit dodgy that way, because as you say, nearly anybody could have went in. Folk that absolutely hate the club with a passion could go in and fill it out about 300 times and, you know, just put down a lot of shite. So I don't think it was, you know, thought out that well for them to be doing it in that way.
Yeah, I mean, as other pods have said, that, you know, apparently there's some sort of filter they can put on it that will obviously weed out some of the obvious non-Rangers fans that have posted and things like that, you know, but it shouldn't have been done like that, and it was a bit sad. And I don't know, is it maybe a sign that they're just paying lip service to us and they're not actually going to act on anything that comes out of the survey?
I mean, I think we were all needing something that we could all, you know, engage them with, you know, the sort of normal fans. Whether that was the right thing to do, I don't know. I still don't. I don't know if we've had any feedback from it yet or not as to what they've came up with, or, you know, anything that they're going to do. Because I think the vast majority of us would probably have put in the same things and the same objectives. So I don't know when they're actually going to get back to us, or if they have yet. I don't know if you've heard anything, Derek.
No.
If they've got back to us with anything yet.
I can't remember what the closing date. I think it was the end of February. Maybe. I'm not too sure, to be honest. But certainly, if they get loads of "yeah, everything's fine here" replies, then I somehow think that they'll be the Celtic fans that have filled that in.
Surely not. I'd be quite surprised if they go half a dozen of them like that for the true Rangers supporters. So yep. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yep, so we'll move on. Really, on that same day, guess who came back? Yes, Jack came back with some ludicrous statement that fans really need to get a grip of reality. That was on in the back of, I think it was the Evening Times, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, we're talking about finances and things like that. You know, Jack, the only person that needs to get a grip on reality is you, because right now it's the fans that are paying your wages. So at the end of the day, you know, it's the fans are the lifeblood of the club. They are the club. And, you know, your comments are, again, unbefitting of a club the stature of Rangers.
Yeah, it's how to win friends and influence people there, but Mr. Irvine, we are the most important thing, you know, for the club, as the supporters that are piling their money in. We deserve answers and we deserve to know how the club's getting run. And for somebody, you know, in his standing within the club to come out and tell the supporters to get a grip is absolutely shocking. And somebody really needs to, or I hope that somebody has went and had some harsh words with them. But again, it's just pure silence for Rangers. We've not heard anything at all as to what's happened after that. So, aye, a total shambles.
Yep. Well, the next thing that came out, and there was murmurings of it that was going to happen, as we have secured a £1.5 million loan from some of the major shareholders. It was spouted before the full details came out. Basically, what's happened is £500,000 came from the Easdales, and it's not going to be paid back in money terms. I don't think it's going to be paid back in shares over a certain period of time. And also, Laxey have put in £1 million, and they're going to be getting about £150,000 interest over that time as well. All of this was secured against property, the Edmundston House and the Albion car park, which, bear in mind, cost us £2.5 million in total. So why, you know, we're going to potentially be losing money if we somehow default on the loan. And also the fact that this loan was getting used for working capital, yet we're still getting fed the lines, "No, everything's fine, we're not running out of money, we're absolutely fine, you know, blah, 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 blah." It's why would you need a £1.5 million for a start? It's a strange amount, but why would you need that money to oversee, you know, just working expenses? It's an absolute joke, and there's fans out there that still cannot see that there is a major, major problem with finances in our club.
I think you're saying that, you know, figure at £1.5 million. As soon as I seen that, I don't know what you thought, Derek, but I thought that is basically just buying them, you know, just enough time until the season ticket money rolls in. That's how much money that they've sort of calculated as how much they need to keep us going until they start getting all the millions of pounds that we're pumping into the club. I don't know if that's what you thought at the time or not.
Well, certainly I think that it's been tipped about a £500,000 a month or something like that for wages, so I don't know. It just baffles me how we're in this situation, how £22 million IPO money's gone, two lots of season ticket money's gone, and then plus obviously you've got all your other, you know, we've been largely 45,000 over the past 2 years in games at home. So you've obviously got between 7,000 and 10,000 like walk-in tickets per game. So there's an extra bunch of money that I don't think anybody's accounted for as well. You know, where's it all gone? It just baffles me how we're in this situation once again.
Yep, and how many times have we asked that question before, Derek, in the last year? Where's the money gone? And we still haven't had any concrete answers as to what exactly has happened.
No. Well, the next kind of Kane thing that came out, obviously after hearing that, Dave King, he came out with a very strong speech about the fact that he's not been contacted by the board and, you know, nobody's contacted him. I'm willing to put money in the short to mid-term. You know, I'm willing to do it and, you know, come after me. Have a conversation with me. And, you know, obviously it's been back and forward from there with Wallace coming out with effectively a rebuttal statement that says, you know, being in contact. Jack Irvine's put his neb in again. It's all going back and forward. You know, what Dave King's came out and said is absolutely true, and I think it's talk that we need, and it's somebody like that we need involved in the background at Rangers and on board level. He's basically came out and said that he wants to, you know, fight the cause against them, and I think that the only thing that we really can do as supporters now is really pretty much, in a sense, withhold our season ticket money. He's not saying boycott, which some people seem to have picked up on. He's not said that at all. What he said is we'll set up a trust for fans who are going to buy season tickets to put their money in, and we'll drip feed the money into the club that way so that the club can't get the money all in a winner, which what they're expecting, so that fans can show that this is we are what the club needs. The season ticket money is a major, major part, and if you don't have that and you don't have the fans, the club is going to severely suffer.
I think the season ticket money is the main reason. I mean, that, like I said, I'm sure that's the whole reason for them. They're hoping and holding out for the season ticket money to roll in. So possibly a great idea for the season ticket holders to do. Whether or not they'll do it, I've got no idea. There's certainly a larger growing support for season ticket holders to do that. But like me and you have said in the past, a lot of older guys who have been following the club, guys in their 60s and 70s that have been buying their season tickets every year, you know, are these the type of guys that are suddenly going to turn around and say, right, I'll do that? I think it's going to be very difficult because, you know, we're creatures of habit, and as I say, especially older guys, supporters of the club, would just keep going, you know, the way that they have been every year, buying their season tickets as normal, and it's getting through to guys like that that could be the big change for us and what's maybe needed. So I think there's still a lot of really difficult times to get that venture ongoing. I don't know what you think, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something we need to kind of look into, and it's maybe, you know, starting to withhold money and starting to, you know, gamble on the club's future like that is maybe a risky thing. But I think we've got to play hardball with this group now, as, you know, we've always kind of thought of there's people in there that we don't know anything about them, like Blue Pitch, like Margarita. Graham Wallace seems a stand-up guy. He always speaks, you know, looks to be talking perfect sense, unlike me right there. And, you know, is he getting to do the job that he wants to do, or is his strings getting pulled? Nobody knows.
Possibly. I mean, again, it's there's more and more questions come out all the time about the people in the back room. But what is annoying me is at the last AGM, it's the people that were voted back onto the board were voted on by the major shareholders. So, like I said at the time, things are going wrong, and these people are the ones that should be held accounted for, because we've given them their opportunity. But it's still very worrying, and you know what. We're talking about it every week, and it's just rumbling on and on and on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not wanting to go too much into depth about King's statement. He's had a couple actually now, and because if you've not read it by now, then you know where you've been basically. But you know, one thing that I think that he should be doing is he's obviously willing to invest money. But if I was King, I'd be saying to the board, right, here's X amount of £1 million. It's in this account here. You can have it only if you clarify X, Y, and Z. Like, you know, who are Blue Pitch, who are Margarita, and you do other stuff as well. And if you can clarify that there and sort out our issues, there's the money. You can have it to develop the team the way you want. If not, you're not getting the money, and it's also clear that you've got something to hide. And then that's obviously, that should be a cut and dry things for any fans who are either on the fence or who actually support the board, and tell them, no, there's something dodgy up here.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Just on King as well, I happened to, if anybody was looking at our Twitter feed over the last kind of week, I got into a wee bit of ding-dong with one of the Rangers fans who seemed to support the board. Baffling what he was coming up with in respect to that. He was fed up with King's statements and him just basically posturing. Well, as far as a lot of fans see, it wasn't posturing. But then he came out with the most extraordinary statement I've ever heard in my life when it comes to Rangers. He actually actively wanted the board to lie to us. And I was dumbfounded by it. I got into the conversation with him, and basically he wanted that because he didn't really want to hear the words get uttered that we were going into administration again. He would rather that had been kept from us than he didn't want to hear that there was any problem because he didn't want to hear the words again. I mean, that's how you bury your head in the sand, pal. You know, seriously. And a few other fans that came on as well were like saying this guy's off his head. But, I mean, seriously, if you have any fans out there who really just want the board to lie to us, then really, what is that all about?
Yeah, we need to know exactly what's going on because we've been, over the years when we first went into administration, we didn't know anything about it. I would like to think that, you know, if anything was going pear-shaped, we would know about it a hell of a lot, you know, sooner, you know, before it was too late again. Like I said, because we've got social media and we're using it so much now, we've got so many links to the club. That we would like to hear about it, but that's quite baffling, but absolutely unbelievable. As you say, bury your head in the sand, everything's alright, you know, as long as we ignore it. Absolutely incredible. We all want to know everything that's going on with our club. We pay a hell of a lot of money to support them, and we have done throughout the years, so we want to know everything that's going on about this club, and we didn't just want to be completely ignorant of it all. So aye, baffling, absolutely baffling.
So further to that, obviously there's been a new group that's been started. Not a new group as such, but it's basically a group called the Union of Fans, which is getting together the RST, the Rangers Supporters Association, and the Sons of Truth, and all the kind of groups like that. Admittedly, some of them have kind of distanced themselves because they were included in a kind of header of their website when they were never asked and things like that. But that's a bit by the now. But certainly, it seems to be that it's maybe the first, you know, united group of fans come together about the board, and certainly a good thing. And it's something I've been saying for a while now that you know, we've got three main supporters groups. There shouldn't be three. There should be one with one voice, and that alone.
As you were saying, Derek, it's something that we've been talking about for a long time, and you know, possibly the first steps to getting a sort of unified supporters group going. So no, I was pleased when I read that, and I just hope that everybody gets behind it, so you know, we can have one voice and we're all voting for the same things and going forward as one. So no, it's certainly a wee bit optimistic news for the supporters, I think.
Yeah, certainly. And the final thing I've got in boardroom Antrim related here. This is a new, as I mentioned last week, there is a new Buy Rangers scheme as such. Obviously, Buy Rangers is the one from the RST. You need to be an RST member, apparently, to sign up for that. But this one's called Rangers First. Now, it's another variation on the kind of supporters trust where you put in X amount of money each month and then eventually it'll go into a pot and it'll, you know, go towards buying shares. So they've still to kind of clarify and finalise a few things about what their structure to go forward is. But it's another kind of fans-led scheme going forward. It's obviously a good thing to get the fans, but obviously, hopefully, this won't be the case. But then what happens if you've got this group here who own a bunch of shares, and then you've got the RST one who owns a bunch of shares, and they don't share the same views? Then all you've got there again is two sets of supporters, two sets of shareholders with entirely different views. So hopefully they can come together in some sort of agreement that they both, you know, go into this when they won't buy shares, and when they vote on anything, they obviously come together on this.
I would like to think that we would use a sort of common sense approach there, that if they did have enough money to buy a significant amount of shares, that they would be able to do something, you know, to do some good with them, and we'd all be voting for the same things. So I certainly hope it pans out like that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I know that a few people have came out and said on other pods about maybe the reason why people are not endorsing these is because really the shares are not in their own personal names, so hopefully that both of them are backed and well, and when it comes to the crunch, then they're both obviously voting together and for the best of the club.
Yeah, definitely.
So obviously a busy week, and we've kind of tried to summarise it. We've not went into too much depth because, you know, we're a wee bit behind here, and it's been covered before, and again, we'll be no doubt coming back to it next week, you know, saying hopefully the same stuff, but hopefully move forward. So
I think we've been saying this for the AGM, Derek, that it's just going to be constant talk, you know, what's going on in the boardroom, and people wanting to take over, and other people's stepping in and coming out with a lot of statements and things. I think it's just going to be something that's going to rumble on and on and on. But I'm hopeful now the fact that Dave King's spoken out that we'll get somewhere quite soon, and they'll come to some sort of agreement. I'm hoping and praying that the current board can, you know, have some positive talks with them, and if that doesn't happen, then, you know, we've got some serious problems. But I like to think that we're doing something before it gets to that critical stage.
Yeah. So, we'll move on now, and we'll go to the classic match.
Manchester, brace yourself.
So, Dave, it's becoming a cliche now. What game have you got for us this week?
Well, I'm going to go for one of our classic Champions League victories. It was the 20th of October 1999. We were playing against PSV Eindhoven at Ibrox. We had played them, I think, maybe 2 weeks before and got an amazing 1-0 victory. I think we spoke about the goal that George Albert scored against them last week in the What a Player section. We'd won that game 1-0. We were coming back to play them in the reverse fixture at Ibrox this time. So the team lineups for that day which was a bit of a strange one when I look back, actually. But we've got Stefan Kloss in goals. We've got Sergio Perini, Craig Boer, Lorenzo Amoruso, Barry Ferguson, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Michael Moles, Rod Wallace, Tony Vidmar, Neil McCann and Derek McInnes. So there was no place in the team for George Alberts or for Andrei Kanchelskis. They were both on the bench for that game. The PSV team at that time had guys like Van Bommel, Kolkov, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Yuri Nikiforov and Denis Romadal, who was on the bench for them, all, you know, class act players. Van Nistelrooy was one of the best strikers in Europe at that point. That was before he got his big move to Manchester United. And do you know who the referee was for that night, Derek? I don't know if you've looked back on YouTube to see any of the highlights, but do you know who the referee was that night? Possibly the most famous referee of all time.
Yes, the lovely bald man that was Pierluigi Collina.
He was the referee, yes. So we were at that point after the result you know, the week before or the 2 weeks before against PSV, we were all well up for this. We all kind of thought that we could go out and get a victory, another victory for this game. And basically, we absolutely pounded PSV Eindhoven from start to finish. It was possibly one of the best European performances that we've had at Ibrox, or maybe as long as I can remember, possibly one of the best performances in Europe that I've ever seen. It started off Giovanni Van Bronckhorst hitting an absolute stinging shot just past the post. Barry Ferguson, straight from the off, was pulling all the strings for Rangers. He was on the ball constantly, he was picking out passes, he was tackling, he was just, you know, absolutely outstanding. Michael Moyles then ran down the right hand side, he got to the byline, and this was Michael Moyles' first ever European match, which was incredible because he was outstanding. Michael Moyles, as I say, had the chance down the right hand side to the byline, put the ball back to Neil McCann, who hit the shot which was saved by the goalkeeper, which should have been 1-0. That then in the 18th minute, from that save from the goalkeeper, we got a corner.
Very congested box again, that's it! Amoroso, no cover for the big captain. And I think Rangers deserved that for the move they had originally to get the corner.
What a brilliant corner. That is a quality corner.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst whipped the corner in. Up was Big Ammo in the air. With a bullet header, bang, 1-0 into the goal. Everybody went mental. You know, we had been putting them under the cosh. We knew the goal was coming, and we were just absolutely pounding them at that point. Michael Moyles then, shortly after that, turned his man in the box straight to Rod Wallace, and his shot was cleared, which was unbelievable. Then Perini had another incredible shot in the first half, which was saved, was unbelievable. Rod Wallace again was through 1-1 with the keeper and stroked the ball. We all jumped up thinking it was going to be 2-0, and then it just snuck past the post. Unbelievable. But then on the 38th minute,
here's Moyles, a beautiful ball to the side. Dan McCann, little bit of space there, puts it away to the far side, and it's in! Moyles was in there, and Rangers thoroughly deservedly are 2 goals up.
Michael Moyles with the ball to Neil McCann on the left-hand side, who crossed it in to Michael Moyles at the back post. A fantastic header by Moyles. Bang, that made it 2-0. Everybody went absolutely ballistic. It set us up because we knew we had been by far the better team in that first half. As I say, we were absolutely slaughtering PSV in that game. So at half time we went in 2-0 up. We came back out for the second half, well up for it. But straight away, the start of the second half, a total dampener. Craig Moore kind of had a challenge, very, very soft challenge on one of the PSV Eindhoven players who went down like a sack of tatties in the box, and Colina then pointed to the penalty spot and Van Nistelrooy scored to make it 2-1. So we were a wee bit apprehensive. We really needed something. A short time after that, the PSV goalkeeper just took out Neil McCann in the box. You know, a blatant penalty. You know, it was like an assault on Neil McCann. Big Colina, no, definitely no a penalty. We were absolutely incensed by that. We thought this is going to turn out to be a nightmare. They got a really soft penalty. We're denied a stone waller. But we didn't have very long to wait, because in the 55th minute, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has a free kick.
There is Van Bronckhorst. There's the shot, and Wallace, can he put it away? No! The third goal by McCann, a mistake by the goalkeeper, and all Rangers deserve that 3-1 lead.
He rasps it straight at the goalkeeper. Now, for some reason, the goalkeeper spilled it right in front of him. Rod Wallace then got his toe into the end of it. It struck someone else and it sort of slid under the goalkeeper's hands right on the line, and Neil McCann was there just to toe poke it and into the net to make it 3-1 to Rangers. Went absolutely mental. Nothing more than we deserved because we were outstanding. Then no long after that, big Tony Vidmar, big T, had a chance where he went right through, and again a shot just past the post. It should have been 4-1, but then Sergio Perini with a long ball, which I think was maybe a clearance, but it turned out to be a great pass.
North side, Moyles. Away goes Moyles. And he's done it. That's it. No danger now.
He fired the ball up over the halfway line. Michael Moyles managed to control the ball, running through 1-1 with the keeper, turned, slots the ball, makes it 4-1 to Rangers. Absolutely sensational. PSV were completely dumbstruck by that one. We were in cruise control and we never looked back, and the game finished 4-1, and at that point in the Champions League we were in the driving seat. It looked really promising for us, but again, with Rangers and our European hard luck stories, it wasn't to be, and we never made the last 16. But for all said and done, this game was absolutely sensational. And, you know, to look back on it, I was watching it on YouTube, and I watched it a few times. I was there that night, and I think we just kind of took it for granted at that point, you know, the type of players that we had in our team, that we could play like that. But looking back now, you know, absolutely sensational. And although it was Michael Moyes' first game, and, you know, he scored the two goals and he was outstanding, I thought Barry Ferguson was absolutely phenomenal that night and really controlled the whole match. I don't know if you can remember much about it or not, Derek, but Ferguson was outstanding that night.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he's in that kind of year, he started to dominate midfield, and he was certainly kind of showing the prospects that he was going to become a good leader and a good midfielder driving forward and things like that. So it was great. I mean, in the game overall, I don't remember seeing Rangers, other than maybe the Lyon game, being more dominant in the European game. It was phenomenal. The chances we had, it was a lot of it was just pure luck that it never went in the back of the net more often. I mean, you could have been looking maybe 6-7, 8-0, you know, easily in that game. Unfortunately, we lost the penalty, but certainly an absolute dominant performance. And I just remember on the third goal, you know, when the shot came in from Van Bronckhorst, the keeper fumbled it. Rod Wallace hit a shot, it kind of just got spilled again, and then he was on the ground and he was still trying to get the ball over the line with his head, which was funny as hell to watch. But
there's another player that we forget, and he was only with us for a couple of seasons, but he was prolific for us, was Rod Wallace. He was a great striker for us, so that's maybe somebody that we'll cover in our What a Player game, because we kind of often forget about him. But going back to the performance, it was just phenomenal. It was a great night for us, and as I say, I was lucky enough to be there that night, and it was just brilliant. And to look back, and again, I say this every week, if you get a chance to go back and have a look on it and YouTube, it was absolutely outstanding.
So we'll move on to the next section now, which is What a Player.
Brian, I mean, everybody wants to know, how come you are so good?
So What a Player indeed, arguably one of the best players to ever grace the pitch at Ibrox. We are talking about the Jordy genius that is Paul Gascoigne.
Phenomenal player. He really was. He was absolutely world class. I've got some of his stats here, Derek. He was born in 1967. And he signed his professional papers for Newcastle in 1984. Then after a prolific time at Newcastle, he got a big money move to Tottenham Hotspur in 1988. And I think at that point, I've certainly heard them talking about it, and I read his autobiography, that he was actually set on a move to Manchester United, and he told Alex Ferguson that he was signing, and then after speaking to Terry Venables, he changed his mind at the last minute and signed for Spurs. So he could have been playing for Man United, but he ended up playing for Spurs. He was absolutely outstanding for Spurs at that point, became a regular and England an international player at that point. You remember the goal that he scored, the free kick, and I think it was the FA Cup semi-final, absolute peachy goal. I think he scored into Arsenal in the semi-final. His time at Spurs kind of brought him to prominence at world football. He got his big money move to the Serie A, to Lazio in 1992 for £5.5 million. That was when the Italian football was getting screened to Britain for the first time. We were all watching it, and again, he had an excellent period at Lazio. 3 years after that, I can remember it was a glorious sunny day. There hadn't been much in the papers about who Rangers were going to be buying, and then all of a sudden there was speculation that perhaps Paul Gascoigne could be signing for it, and nobody could believe it because there was so many rumours about him going back to English football and stuff like that. And then glorious sunny day, he gets unveiled outside the main gates at Ibrox with his peroxide blonde hair and I think there must have been about 50,000 Rangers supporters who had all got their hair dyed peroxide at that point. Can you remember that, Derek, when he was unveiled and everybody was outside? It was just absolutely brilliant to see a player like him. Possibly at that point, I'd like to add, he was possibly the most famous player in world football and he was signing for Rangers, which was absolutely incredible. Good. Yeah. Did you have any memories of that day?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I was too young to go there, but I don't think there's been anything like it before or since, certainly in Scotland anyway, in terms of signing a player. I mean, 4.3 million, absolute steal of a buy for him. Unbelievable. And I always thought when he signed for us, he was maybe like 30, you know, 32, 33, but no, he was only about 27, 28. You know, he still had, he was in his prime, and just what a day, just looking back at the pictures and the video from it, and what a reception the guy got. And Dave, talking of Peroxide Blonde, were you not one of the fans?
No, but I'll tell you a true story. It was about 3 days after he signed for us, I had met up with a load of my pals for a game of five-a-side football, and out of the 10 folk, I was the only person that didn't have my hair Peroxide Blonde. So I went down to my local hairdressers and I put the appointment on, and at the last minute I shit myself and I didn't go through with it, because as you know, Derek, I've got jet black hair and thick jet black eyebrows, and I thought to myself, I'm going to look like a complete arse if I get this done. So I didn't bother. But I think the vast majority of Rangers supporters at that point did get their hair done. It was absolutely mental. But like I said, it was unthinkable, a player like him coming and signing for us at that point. It was unbelievable. It really did cement the fact that we were one of the biggest teams in the world, the fact that Paul Gascoigne came and signed for us, and an incredible coup for the club as a whole to get him playing. And he didn't disappoint when he played for us. So what's the stats you've got for him then, Derek, for games and goals and things like that?
Well, I've got here from the rangerspedia.org website, 118 appearances and 44 goals. That's in all competitions.
I mean, that's absolutely phenomenal for a guy playing in midfield. That is incredible. So I mean, that's almost a goal every three games or something like that. Is that about right?
Something like that. I mean, and his honours as well, obviously won the League West twice, the Scottish Cup once, and the League Cup once. He also got the Players' Player of the Year and the Scottish Football Writers' Player of the Year in the 95-96 season, and he was inducted obviously into the Rangers Hall of Fame. I mean, do you have any standout performances? Well, obviously.
I mean, there's loads. I think you were about to say that one of the games that we covered when we won 3-0, when he scored his hat trick against Aberdeen, you know, absolutely outstanding in that. There was also, I don't know if you can remember, he scored a goal in the Champions League against Steaua Bucharest at Ibrox,
yeah,
where he
picked
the ball up in his own half, and just the sheer speed of him once he got going was unbelievable, and the skill. I mean, that was a phenomenal goal, and the fact, I mean, the goal was so good that it was like a match winning goal, and we still didn't bloody win that game that night. We drew 1-1 because I was at that game. And did you know that the famous advert that he did for Walker's Crisps, where he was crying, can you remember that one?
I do.
That he scored that goal, and then the next day he travelled down to England to film that that advert, because I can remember a documentary, and they were all saying to him, oh, your goal last night was sensational in the Champions League, and that was that the day after that. That's just a bit of useless information for you, but anyway. And I can also remember the League Cup final against Hearts, his second half performance in that, you know, when he scored the two goals and we beat Hearts in the League Cup final. Can you remember that one?
I do, yeah.
That's another game that we'll have to cover as well in their classic matches, but outstanding in that. But the vast majority of the games, you can never really say that he had a quiet match, really. In a lot of them, he was always a threat going forward. He was always keen to get hold of the ball. He was just an absolutely phenomenal player. And then when you think back to some of the stories that you've heard of him, both good and bad, he's a bit of a flawed genius. You know, we all know that he's fighting his demons, and he still is, because he's looking a bit of a sorry state these days. But I think the one thing that we all knew is he just absolutely loved playing football, and we knew that, you know, all these sort of off-field problems, it never ever affected him when he actually, you know, when he pulled on the jersey and he went out there. He was always, you know, a 100% type guy when he was on the field, which was phenomenal. And you know, we've talked a lot about the bad things in his life, but you've got to look back. I don't think there's one person in the football world that's had anything to do with Gazza that's not got a funny story about him. And the amount of practical jokes that he played on some of his teammates, like the the fish that if we had in Gordon Jury's new car,
right.
Under the spare fuel, and Gordon Jury was going mad and he had the car back and forward to the garage, I don't know how many times, because of the smell, and they could never find it what it was, and it was because Gazza had put a trout that he'd caught at the fish, and he'd hid it underneath his spare wheel in his car, and they told him about it. There was loads and loads, like the when he was talking about his pal Big Jimmy Five Bellies, the fact that he had took the hair cream, the hair gel, and he had replaced it with Itamac hair remover, and Big Jimmy Five Bellies was plastering this in his hair, and it was the Itamac hair remover that he'd put on in the tub. And the other one where he'd scooped the pie filling out and he'd went and go put cat's crap in the pie and he'd left it out and Jimmy went and ate it and he asked him if he had any more because they were so good. Absolutely brilliant. As I say, a flawed genius. He was a genius on the park, and when we signed him, possibly the best player, most famous player in the world. So at that point, you know, we really were one of the biggest clubs in Europe at that point. I think it made a lot of people sit up and take notice the fact that we had managed to sign such a quality player. And again, if you're too young to remember Gazza, you should go onto YouTube and see some of the goals that he scored for us, because he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the things the press picked up on his bad things, you know, he obviously was as you said, he was a bit of a joker, and he had issues, and, you know, he did get into trouble quite a bit as well, but at the same point, a lot of it was never picked up on that, you know, all the good he'd done, because he was a good, kind of generous guy from all accounts. I mean, he was playing golf, and he had this big immaculate 2, 3, 4 grand, you know, golf set that he was playing around with, and his wee caddy that was going along with him, he was, you know, playing alongside him as well, and he had this rickety old golf set. And at the end of the 18 holes, Gazza says to him, "Is that your set?" He says, "Aye, it is, aye. Here, have mine." And he gave him the full brand new set, you know, yeah, worth thousands of pounds. So the guy, you know, he's you only see his bad things in the press, but certainly the guy was generous and
aye,
a really good guy. And, you know, in terms of going back to the football, I've never seen someone ingratiate themselves in the culture of the whole 9 in a row, the whole Rangers family thing, as much as Gazza did. He absolutely loved it here, and certainly something that, you know, he'd done a Piers Morgan interview last year, I think it was, and it was cut out the main one, but in the director's cut, the extended one, you know, he did kind of come out and say he had one of the best times of his life at Ibrox. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that was that Piers Morgan thing really pissed me off at the time, because as you say, the one that they cut, it was as if he had never had any time in Scotland whatsoever playing for Rangers, and then when you look back at the bits that were all cut out, he basically said that was by far his best time playing football, was when he was playing for Rangers, and he absolutely loved it. And he always, you know, any time that he's interviewed, he done an interview in Sky Sports a couple of years ago, and he was talking about Rangers, and he was like so still bigging them up and saying, you know, that they're still the best club that he's ever played for and stuff like that. So I think we all know that he does really love the club, and like I said, he was in a bit of a sorry state the last time I seen him, so I just hope that he can, you know, control these demons and get back to, you know, coming on and talking about football and getting involved in football, because I think that's maybe the best thing for him if he was getting back into coaching, or, you know, yeah, coaching these sort of young kids and all that, because he'd be a great guy to have doing something like that, and something that all like young players could look up to and that. So we wish him all the best and just want to thank him for all the great memories that he gave us.
Absolutely. I mean, we could sit and talk all night about Gazza. There's so many more stories, like his yellow cards that he gave to the ref after the ref dropped it against Hibs and he ended up getting booked himself.
Oh, I know. That was incredible, yeah.
And so many other things. I mean, the time when he was playing for Everton after Rangers, and he had been on the lash the night before, he went out and, you know, what was the story? He played an absolute blinder, didn't remember much of it, and then, you know, he conked out when he fell after the game, and he ended up winning man of the match for playing such a blinding game, and he doesn't remember any because he was pissed during the game.
I know, that's, you know, but I mean, that's that again, it's funny to talk like that, but that's a guy with a serious problem as well. So yeah, it's you know, as I said before, he was a flawed genius, a genius on the park, but so many flaws off the park. And like I said, we just hope that he manages to beat his demons one day, and you sort of get back to the way he was, you know. But yeah, absolutely sensational player.
Absolutely. So We'll be back with another player next time. So we're just going to move on to the news now.
Good evening. I'm Will McAvoy. Will McAvoy. I'm Will McAvoy. Good evening. I'm Will McAvoy. This is Newsnight. From New York City, I'm Will McAvoy.
Right, so the first thing I've got here, Imran Ahmad, he tried to basically get, after all the talk of us getting a loan and things like that and us possibly going into administration, he petitioned the courts to have £650,000 arrested from the club, because if he won his court case, which is still to be heard on the 1st of April, by the way, if he won that case, he didn't believe the club would be solvent enough to pay him the money that the court would award him. Now, it was held one day, and I think the next day the appeal was found not in his favour, so he was basically told to jog on. The irony of the whole story is he felt the club wasn't going to be solvent, and it was him and Green that put the all the policies in place as the way the club's running. So what does that say for his own belief in the club then?
Exactly. You can take for that what you will. But it's very, very dodgy goings on, as you say. He's the one that set all this in motion, and he's the one that doesn't think that, you know, they're going to have enough money at the end of it. It's absolutely incredible, and it shows you just how badly we've been getting run ever since that happened. As I say, the amount of money that we generated, and for it all to be slipped away, and it's guys like that who are, you know, profiting out of it, it's just unbelievable.
Next thing I've got here is, it's been reported in the Honduran press that Peralta's came out and said that he's looking for a new club in the summer. Hallelujah.
No, come on, we're still waiting on him to score another free kick like he did in that friendly against Dundee.
Well,
he's been pretty, he's been a bit of a non-event since he came. Maybe a wee gamble. Ali's obviously seen something in his trips away over to the other side of the world to watch him. He's maybe seen something that we've not. He doesn't look anything spectacular whatsoever. He looks a very, very, very average player, and we've got by far better young players that can come in and play.
You know, in fairness, he is getting played out of position, but still you'd expect him to show a wee bit more than he has done. And
yeah.
I'll not be too downhearted to see him.
No.
The one thing I will be downhearted on is it was came out that Kyle McCausland has renewed his loan with Ayr to the end of the season. So, you know, we're crying out for a right back, considering Forster, how bad he's been since he's came back the last couple of games. You know, we're not going to have McCausland until, you know, next season at least now. So, whereas it's good at least he's getting some game time, I would have preferred him to be getting game time with us.
Yeah, definitely, as you say, because I mean, I think that Forey's done all right since he's came in, but Forey's a centre half who's getting played at right back and has been getting favoured to playing at right back than an actual right back in Ricky Foster. So it shows you how poor Ricky Foster's been for us. If, you know, a centre half's getting picked over him to play at right back, and now that Forey's been out injured and Foster's came in, he's just looked again really, really average. Nothing outstanding whatsoever.
And the last kind of thing I've got here is, that's a bit of a comical one and quite serious at the same time though, is a bookmaker suspends betting on the next Premier League manager to leave after Alan Pardew headbutts a Hull City player.
I watched it in disbelief last night when I seen that happening, because it's not the first time that Pardew's been involved in anything like that, but to actually go and stick the head in an opposition player in front of everybody is absolutely ludicrous, and the fact that he shouldn't have even became involved in anything that was going on as well was just unbelievable. But I've never seen anything like that before, and I've not even seen anything like that done at the Sunday Amateurs when I used to run a team down there, and we've seen a lot of fighting there, and I've never ever seen anything as mental as that before. So I think the guy's got serious problems.
£100,000 fine he got for that, which is pretty steep and quite incredible considering fines are never normally more than a couple of grand. So well played to the authorities for that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a kind of straight away that his club came out and said that they were going to fine him that amount of money. It'd have been quite interesting to see if Newcastle were struggling at the other end of the table, if they got fined or they'd just have been sacked straight away for doing that. It's but the fact he's doing quite well, Newcastle have decided just to find him and keep him on. So he's going to have to be a very, very careful man from now on, and maybe sit in his arse throughout the whole game instead of being on the touchline, because I think he's had a run in with nearly every manager in the Premier League at one point. And you know, certainly know the type of guy that you want to be able to tell your players, you know, don't do this and don't do that, when he's, well, you know, one of the worst instigators out there for causing bother. So
one last wee thing I've got here, and it did happen a wee bit of time ago, it's just obviously we've not been live to cover it, is the St Mirren Ross County game about a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago was getting covered on TV. Had to be shown post watershed because there was swearing heard by the fans.
A whole four of them.
Yes. This was on BBC Alba, so it was shown at 10:55 PM. You know, 5 hours later. So, again, it goes down to, you know, TV companies, you know, are they really, really kind of getting cracking down on this for some stupid reason? You know, I could understand if it was, you know, racist or, you know, anything like that, but it was just, you know, your usual swearing you hear at football, and, you know, it just doesn't make sense, and, you know, TV companies really need to get a grip. Swearing's swearing. So fuck that, basically.
Especially if it's in Gaelic. The people that are watching it are supposed to be speaking Gaelic, so surely, you know, they'll not understand it, honestly. But nah, it's incredible. But a game getting shown after the watershed, I just thought it was because the game was just so pish that they had to put it on after the watershed, you know. But the only other wee bit of news that I seen, Derek, was I don't know if you've seen a bit about Kyle Lafferty. Did you read that?
I heard murmurings, I can't remember what
you
said.
Yeah, it was in the back of a newspaper that he was ill-advised about leaving Rangers. He got some bad advice, and it was the worst mistake that he had ever made, and he would do anything to come back to Rangers, basically. Well, sorry, Kyle, tough shit. You made your bed, you've got to lie in it. You walked out on us in our need to fill your pocket. So, no, I don't think any Rangers fan out there would have you back at all. No. So, tough shit.
Right, so that wraps it up just about for this week. Just a couple of things we've got to say. Again, another shout out for the Rangers report. They've rounded up their articles about the 5-year plan there. Some very interesting reading from some great guests, not myself included, of course, but certainly, you know, a great website to go to. I love the kind of, at the end of each game, they've got a 3 stars section of the three best players of the game, like they do in NHL hockey, like they point out. So, quite like that wee section there as well.
Did you say 3 best players in a game?
Well,
he's going to be struggling when he's watching any of the last 3 games to give you three of the best players in the team. Really?
Quite possibly, it's probably going to be 3 of the least worst players. get out checking out the Rangers report site, and also, there was a new podcast we talked about. They've had 2 episodes since we last broadcast. We Welcome the Chase. They said it was going to be different, and it certainly is. I nearly crashed my car today listening to them. When you hear something like, "See when you're doing a jobby," you know you're in for a good conversation then. I won't go too far because I'll let you listen to it yourselves, but if you've not done so already, get out and listen to it, because it's a hilarious laugh, and, you know, hopefully they've got great more episodes to come as well. So that wraps it up for this week, and we will be back hopefully sooner than the last time. Just obviously we had a bit of unplanned delay there, but thanks for listening anyway, and goodbye.
Yes, it's been good, it's been long. I hope you've enjoyed it, guys. Go onto YouTube and look at the game that we were reviewing there, and have a look at some Gaza goals, and we'll be back soon. Cheers and take care.
Bye. Bribing a lot of women these days at work, you
exactly, know? It's quality, mate. It's amazing what alcohol and chocolate does for you.